do we got here?
People versus Doris McKenzie, Your Honor.
The Santini brothers are going to take care of you. They're going to break every bone in your body.
Please, lady, would you quit hassling me?
Oh, you're going to get plenty when the Santinis get their revenge.
All right, ma'am, settle down. What's the story, Mr. Prosecutor?
The defendant, Mrs. Doris McKenzie, was arrested at Madison Square Garden, Your Honor, when she stormed the ring and assaulted...
The Klondike Butcher!
Klondike here was engaged in a professional wrestling match when Mrs. McKenzie hit him over the head with a folding chair.
She almost killed him with that thing.
It hurt like the dickens.
Jack Delman, Your Honor, promoter. And I think this crazy broad should be put away. Look at how she scratched up his face.
It hurt, Jack.
I know, baby, I know.
Why don't you try to do to me what you did to Little Caesar the Spectrum, you cheap shot artist?
That's enough, Mrs. McKenzie.
No, it isn't. This is for Caesar B. Flips.
Oh, no, lady, that's enough. Leave the poor guy alone.
You're squishing my kidney.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now you behave yourself.
Muck face.
Cut the muck slinging, Mrs. McKenzie. That'll be 10-day suspended sentence and a $50 fine. Selma?
Come on, honey.
Hey, haven't I seen you at the garden?
Yeah, I beat Honey in 12. Come on.
Baby oil and blow, talking about 80s wrestling.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. We're setting a mood.
Setting a mood.
I was just going to sit back and ease myself into it, and then you went straight to the kid who fell out a window song.
Yeah, it's a funny story, really.
Is it?
Oh. No, it might not be.
Yeah,
I think
the whole story was just that, you know, old Slowhand's kid fell out of a window and died.
How
and
about Slow
a sad
Dad?
Song about it. That's
slow
true.
Dad, you can't like prevent
See all
your
those,
son
like,
from
little,
falling out a window.
GIFs on the internet that like are hashtag dad reflexes. You ever seen that? Like,
yeah.
Kid goes falling or something, and you dad can, like snatches it right out of the air.
Turns out you can either have dad reflexes mm-hmm. or be Slowhand.
Yeah.
You can't beat both.
He earned his name.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, he earned it. Yeah.
It wasn't just a strange abstract nickname, ladies and gentlemen.
I heard the Illuminati did it.
That makes a lot of sense, because, yeah. I mean, Clapton is known for his... I don't know what he's known for other than his guitar prowess. Is he the most boring rock star in history?
Ooh.
Never heard any stories about him fucking any sea life in a hotel room.
He did a whole lot of drugs.
Yeah, but he always just had like a real square look about him. Like never any like flashy, like dumb of its era fashion choices or anything. Weird facial hairs or anything that I can remember.
He stole George Harrison's wife.
He did, but they were like both cool with it. Like
it was kind of like the Bischoff.
Yeah,
I think
it was much more of like a... Hey, we all just kind of fuck in a group anyways. Yeah. And then like eventually it was just like, yeah, you two make much more sense like, as like a married couple than we do. So
Chris Benoit and woman.
Just move on.
Except, you know.
I think that was really a thing that your boy Kevin Sullivan was too happy about because he went back and killed woman all those years later and then framed Benoit for it. So that's
Kevin
the
Sullivan,
opposite
the,
of a Courtney, dissolution of a
the Courtney
that
Love
all sides
of professional
okay
wrestling.
About. Oh, man. Don't get me started about how Courtney Love killed Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
I got so many different charts and graphs from the internet that I can show you. It's basically been proven at this point.
All I want to know is how many baby oil and blows are we going to have to start off like this? It is baby oil and blow, by the way. It's
a wrestling show.
It's your boy, Matt O, with me as always, Natonio Adams. This week you can be... Who do you want to be?
I'm in funeral tug, so I'm going to be the pallbearer to your Undertaker.
Oh, wow.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody.
Yeah, you're coming here, you know, fresh with the stink of death
Literally
on you.
Still wearing black head to toe.
You look cool in it,
I look like some sort of like new school Johnny Cash.
You look pretty cool in it.
Some Nashville producer out there wanted to start marketing the new Johnny Cash. I'm your man.
I'm Jay Cash.
Yeah. Ooh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that's pretty damn cool. So you had to go to a wake. Mm-hmm. I had one of the worst days in recent memory.
Oh, at the jail?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, just in my life, really. Mm. Well, it turned out to
personal
be like...
personal life, jail stuff, all of it?
Turned out to be one of the worst days and best days of my life.
Let's dig into this. This is intriguing to me.
It's quick story. I just walked around for a good chunk of time thinking that Stan Lane had died.
Oh, no.
And then found out Stan Lee died.
R.I.P. comics legend Stan Lee.
And I was like, well, he's 95. I mean,
speaking about being famous for doing drugs.
Yeah.
That guy did a whole mess of drugs back in the 70s and the 60s. And he lived to be 95. God bless him.
Yeah, the whole X-Men
story. You want to.
That's about doing acid.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's all a metaphor. Spider-Man's web shooters. That's a metaphor for shooting up.
Yeah. It's
clearly
a metaphor for doing a lot of cocaine and jizzing everywhere.
Yeah. Stan Lee. I wonder how many times he caught an STD in the Playboy Grotto.
Oh, yeah.
And just lived through it all and just made it all the way to the end. He's a true Iron Man.
Oh, lots of women. Jagger and me, we had a running contest to see who had the most. Matter of fact, last time I looked, I was way ahead.
He was.
Unintended. Was a true Iron Man.
Yeah. Gone.
You know, I just read like a speculative article the other day. Dead at 95, him.
Yeah.
I read a scientific study type thing saying that the first human being who's going to live to be 150 is alive right now.
Oh, that's
how
creepy.
Good medicine's getting. We're going to start living like 110, 120 just as a regular thing. I don't want that, man. There's no part of me that wants that.
I this year lost a great aunt that made it to 97.
Ugh.
Her mother lived to be 103.
Well, I was just sitting at that wake with my new cousin-in-law, Claire, who said that she just buried her grandma at 105.
Oh.
It's creeping up there.
105 Live?
We're getting elderly creep.
Isn't that the name of the show? 105 Live?
105 Live. That's that wrestling show where it's all wrestling grannies.
Yep, wrestling grannies.
Wrestling grannies that weigh in at 105 pounds. I'd watch that.
Yeah, so I don't know. I have a feeling it's going to be one of those weeks where the, you know, Grim Reaper's always...
The mother of the deceased told me, like, yeah, you know, I'll probably see you at Christmas, but maybe before then, because these things always come in threes.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that's a pretty dark thing to say at your daughter's fucking funeral.
Did you and her?
Props to her.
Yeah, you know, way to look forward and be logical about it.
I always appreciate anybody who can keep a gallows humor in these times.
Right, yeah. It's in the air. Snow's here.
Oh, I got to tell you, visibility coming back from that event. It wasn't good.
Yeah, you got to look at the roads for us.
Hey, join us now. I got Nate Adams. We're looking at the roads for us. Hey, what's going on out there?
It's dark because it's, you know, the time had changed.
Yeah.
So everybody's still on the road when it's dark. You get that snow going. Everybody's headlights shining on that snow. You can't see what's going on. People start driving like assholes.
We've alluded to that crippling winter depression that just makes its way
really
into your life.
Seeps into your skin.
And today was like a good foreshadow of it.
Oh.
It's cold
like,
all day.
Like when you go to the dentist.
It's snowing.
They're going to give you x-rays and they put that big leather bib right over your chest.
That's
what it feels like. Only you look down and there's no lead bib, man.
Mm-mm.
No lead bib.
Mm-mm. It's just...
that's just chemicals doing that to you.
Winter letting you know it's coming, man. So
stuck up on vitamin D, motherfuckers.
Yeah, buddy.
It's going to be a long winter.
And peyote. We can make a quick trip over the border into Michigan and buy pot now, though.
Oh, I was talking about that a little bit, too.
Yeah.
We're talking politics, basically.
Okay.
And in my family, what that means is talking about what's going on with weed.
Politics,
There's a lot of other stuff going on in politics, not according to my family. All they're concerned about is, where's weed legal? How long until weed is legal here? The encroach of legal weed. What's up with it? My dad says he's sick of taking pain pills every day. He wants to just start smoking weed.
Nice.
And then my sister was like, seriously, though, you need to stop taking pain pills. You've been taking pain pills for like 15 years. And he's like, I can't get through work without taking pain pills.
Oh,
and we all just kind of like, stopped for a second and looked around like, they all come in threes.
Yeah.
They all come in threes.
Oh, no, he's good. I've worked around a lot of those steel mill, blue collar, Northwest Indiana folks. And
no problem. Just take fentanyl every day. That's just how people live.
Yeah, if you're not taking at least four pills during your work shift of something that's an opiate.
Are you even really working? That's
right.
My question.
Right.
Come on. This is America. We have a work ethic here.
Shit grinds you.
Get back out there. Get back out there into the grind.
That's that Vince McMahon attitude. You want to lose your spot? Do you?
Vince McMahon, he's well known for being a progressive when it comes to his politics and the way he treats his employees. So it's, how dare you cast aspersions on him?
Man,
this is going out to the public.
How hard do you think they're going to be working that border now?
Border, the one coming out of Stamford, Connecticut?
Well, obviously that one, but Michigan back into Indiana.
The stadies.
You're going to see stadies all over.
As much as they're looking for people going over the Indiana-Illinois border every summer just to catch people with trucks full
fireworks.
Yeah. People that on both sides, once Illinois flips very soon, that seems to be on the horizon. Oh, God, they're going to be busting so many carloads full of pot.
Indiana's just going to be like one of the last states.
Nah, things are progressing fast. We got another Pence brother on our state house, so, you know.
Pence bros!
Straight on into the future in this state.
Bam, bam, the Pence bros!
Current wrestling news, do you got any? I haven't been paying attention to the scene.
A Survivor Series is this coming weekend.
Okay.
What are your picks?
My picks are
Team Raw over Team Rollins. SmackDown. Okay.
All of the things.
All the things?
All of them.
So you're saying Lesnar over AJ.
Listen.
2 years in a row.
I'm voting straight ticket, Team Raw, all the way down.
Hmm.
Is SmackDown even a show still? Why do they bother?
Yes. Because they've got a nice array of talent over there. They've got the better talent.
It doesn't matter.
You got AJ. You got Joe. You got Nakamura.
Listen, pro wrestling is all about optics. Doesn't matter how talented you are. It matters how you're being presented.
Sure.
Vince McMahon clearly wants to let everyone know these SmackDown guys are losers.
Yeah. Yeah.
When has AJ Styles ever main evented a pay-per-view with his record-breaking WWE title reign? Probably fucking never. You know why? Because he's a vanilla midget.
Ooh.
Just ask my buddy Nash. He'll tell you.
Vanilla midget and all that shit. All that is just to fuck with you. That's just to fuck with you. That's just keep you in check. Because you are a midget. To me, you're a midget. I can say that. You can't look at me and fucking say, no, I'm not. I'm the same size as you.
If you got the network, dig up that table for three of Diamond Dallas Page, Big Show, and Kevin Nash sitting around a table.
And a couple of giants of the World Championship Wrestling.
Drinking and talking about how great they were.
There's nothing better than old guys talking about how great they were and how bad everything is now.
And it's great because, like, you got Dallas there and you got Big Show, who's pretty well spoken. So you at these things,
for
like
a mongoloid,
Nash will usually take the lead because he likes to hear himself talk.
Yeah,
but he gets to do classic, like, Nash just sit back in the fold, let them do the heavy talking.
Classic Kevin Nash,
and then
dogging
just
it,
going to business real quick for
just
himself.
Imagine,
with
like,
a comment.
He was a college athlete, right? Like, played basketball in college.
Michigan, yeah.
Just imagine being in classes with Kevin Nash, and you get put in one of those group assignments with him, like, oh, we're making groups, everybody's got to do their part in
I'm
the assignment.
Telling you, watch this episode of Table for Three, because that's what you're getting. That's
Kevin
what
Nash,
you're getting.
His name was on every single one of those projects.
Yeah,
he got the points for him. I guarantee you he didn't do a minute's work, man.
No,
not for one group project all throughout college.
No.
He never did a minute's fucking work.
That's because you don't do work, man. You just collect checks.
Fucking goals, man. Everybody should look to Kevin Nash.
He's a hero.
He's a true hero.
So your pick is Team Raw.
We know what comes next in the podcast, and that's the rundown. This is where we dig
rundown.
Down. We do the work of the thing. We force ourselves to watch an episode of 80s professional wrestling.
And now
we're
going
to
prove it to you.
This week, the rundown has been brought to us by streaming giant Netflix. They got a lot of stuff coming up this month that I'm super pumped about. November 16th, they've got a new Coen Brothers movie dropping. Ballad of Buster Scruggs, starring Tim Blake Nelson, one of my favorite actors ever. Big shit.
He a good dude.
Thanksgiving Day, new 6-episode season of Mystery Science Theater 3000 drops. That's going to be great. They're doing Mac and Me as one of the movies.
Oh,
what a treat.
Really?
Also, a new Santa Claus movie starring Kurt Russell as Santa Claus.
Yeah, I like the idea.
I'm going to be watching a ton of Netflix in November, and so should you. The Rundown, brought to you by Netflix, is a rundown of Primetime Wrestling from April 25th, 1988.
Netflix.
It was, for all you keeping score out there, Bobby the Brain Heenan's 2-year anniversary as host of the show. We got a big celebration going. There's cake.
T-shirt idea.
There's balloons.
T-shirt idea.
Okay. We're making T-shirts.
Network and chill.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's lame.
Disgusting, that's and I love lame. It. And our sizes start at XL.
You only got quadruple X. What the fuck?
Yeah, hell yeah.
That's my impression of every wrestling fan ever.
Yep.
Even the real thin ones, they still wear shirts that are 8 sizes too big for them.
I'm sure I could find a couple XL Taz shirts at my parents' house somewhere.
It's a beautiful thing. Our first match is Jake the Snake Roberts in there versus Chris Curtis. Doesn't last long. Curtis is outclassed. Jake wins with the DDT. Second match, biggest match of the year maybe as far as this podcast is concerned. Two Baby Oil and Blow favorites. The underdog Brady Boone versus the wily veteran Iron Mike Sharp. Sharp manages to win after a loaded forearm blow. He had a foreign object somewhere in that pad, then he
allegedly
gave me the old smackaroo over the head.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Ravishing Rick Rude is in our next match. He's in there against a jobber named Jake Milliman.
They said his name?
Yep, they said it.
I just put three question marks and rat tail.
Jake Milliman with his rat tail falls victim to the Rude Awakening, which then segues into a little ringside segment where Rick Rude sexually harasses a woman. She turns out to be Cheryl Roberts, Jake the Snake's lovely, lovely, not at all trailer trash wife. And before you know it, we got a big pull apart going on.
No,
Jake Roberts, Rick Rude, they're going to be in a feud going forward.
I think he really sexually assaulted her.
Hillbilly Jim's in there versus the future Brooklyn brawler Steve Lombardi, and he manages to put him away with the big hillbilly bear hug.
That's where I tapped out.
Matt couldn't get through that match. That's a shame because he wasn't paying attention for our next match, which is Ron Bass and the One Man Gang versus Don Morocco and the Ultimate Warrior.
Joke's on you. I restarted it today. Best match ever.
Okay. Basically, the end came when Bass kept choking Morocco over and over with his whip, making the ref look like a complete fool because it went on for like 3 minutes and the ref just had to keep on pretending like he was distracted by other things.
He was just really,
and then finally, eventually,
light up OMG.
Junkyard Dog comes out with the chain, makes the save, but inadvertently gets the people he's saved disqualified. Because finally, the ref turns around and he sees what's going on. Thanks for nothing, Junkyard Dog, you big idiot.
Booner.
Our featured match is Macho Man Randy Savage versus Butch Reed from WrestleMania 4. The first round match, they're replaying it to try and shill that WrestleMania 4 VHS still.
Which means
I didn't watch it again.
That's right.
We talked
celebrate
about this. Here we go.
Good time.
Skipping ahead.
Come on.
Skipping ahead. Here's a lot of shit I don't have to watch.
I will.
Pretty sure Macho Man won that one with the elbow. I don't know. I fast forwarded
through
it.
Doesn't matter. We told you before.
Who cares?
Go back and listen to it.
Who cares?
Or go fuck yourself.
Send the
over
archives.
Here with it.
WrestleMania 4. Or order the VHS. They seem to be hard up over there. They're really shelling it.
Well, it's not out yet.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's coming out soon.
Soon.
But that replay, if you have a satellite dish in your yard, you can get that.
What do you, hillbilly trailer trash or whatever Heenan called them last week?
That's who has satellite dishes. Moving on from the rundown into the 5 count. Let's dig deeper into this episode. Let's really get down to the nitty gritty. Talk about the real shit. What needs to be said about this episode of Primetime Wrestling, Matt? What are you burning to let people know about?
Iron Mike Sharp and Brady Boone. I'm skipping all the way to that.
Okay, that's fair. That's definitely one of my points. So that could be my number one, joint number one with this guy over here.
Right before that, though, I just want to say they're doing anniversary segments with Heenan. We're just all sorts of shenanigans going on in the studio. Mm-hmm. And Bruce, or no, it's not Pritchard. It's just some random woman brings out a cake.
Mm-hmm.
To which
following.
Heenan,
this all tracks.
Heenan takes a look at her and says, "Huh, somebody dialed, or somebody called up Dial-A-Bimbo over here."
Is that a real thing in the 80s?
I don't know, but...
if that was still around, I'd be calling up Dial-A-Bimbo all the time.
It's starting on a theme that we'll get to later.
Yes, Dial-A-Bimbo? I'm in need of a bimbo? Oh, we'll have one right out
there.
Carry
out a cake? But let's talk about the real cake here, and that's this match.
Cake.
It's great. It's two of our favorite people.
Mm-hmm.
At the top of their game, Boone doesn't blow a spot.
Nope. Boone's doing all of his little guy, using his athleticism and his flying to stay in it.
Works so well.
Even though he's getting overwhelmed.
Against Mike Sharp.
Mike Sharp's doing all of his big, burly, brawler, just haymaker swinging,
yeah,
idiot, hollering.
Just the whole match
bullshit.
Hollering. He doesn't shut up for a second in this match.
Oh, no.
Mostly because...
turn the volume down on my TV a little bit. It was
neighbors
so much yelling.
Poking through.
A picture fall off the wall.
Pretty great.
Yeah.
Mostly because Boone doesn't do anything, so he had to like overcompensate.
Don't got to.
He don't.
Not when you're in there with Iron Mike Sharp. Just give him the spotlight. Let him produce.
It was just cool. I don't know. That's all I really got to say about
it. If it's one-on-one, Iron Mike Sharp's going to be begging off. He got down on his knees a lot and acted like a little coward.
Sure.
If he gets the upper hand, he's going to be jawing at you and acting cocky. There's nothing to like about this guy. He makes sure that everybody in the crowd hates him.
But there's everything to love about
the guy. Basically, my point when it comes to this match was just that, has there ever been an episode of wrestling TV we watched that Iron Mike Sharp was on where Iron Mike Sharp's match wasn't the best match on the episode?
No.
I don't think we've seen one of those.
No.
Every time the dude shows up, best match on the fucking card. No question.
Maybe that's on us, because like, I'm sure you do like I do. As soon as like they say like coming up next, Iron Mike Sharp, you're like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Something I want to watch. It's not just
look to my
though.
Right and look to my left with a big smile. And then I remember that, no, I'm just alone again. There's no one to share this moment with.
Alone again. Naturally. Network and chill, man.
It's very important to
network and chill.
Take pleasure in the small things.
That's what you're doing.
Iron Mike Sharp matches.
But he delivers. I mean, I don't think we're overhyping it.
No.
It's always a fun
fucking
time.
Most consistent roster member all throughout 1980s WWF.
Doing fucking work,
probably the
man.
Most underrated wrestler of all time.
Yeah, he could be.
Canada's greatest athlete.
People talk about greatest to never hold the title, greatest to Mike Sharp, greatest to never get a push.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
I'm co-signing. Put it up on the board.
He's the best. If you disagree, go fuck yourself.
Okay, one of my points came a little bit earlier than that. It was when we got a little clip of a segment when Dino Bravo and Frenchie Martin were out in the ring. And from that big raised platform where they do interviews, we had Ken Patera doing an interview. And he's yelling about Dino Bravo and what a great power lifter he is, and how he respects all of his strength feats, but how he's not as good of a wrestler as Ken Patera because he's, you know, Olympic, blah, 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 whatever. But I don't care about any of that because Ken Patera is really boring.
Yeah.
But what I hated about this, which really drove me crazy, was the way it was shot. He's just, Ken Patera is standing up on this platform, and we're down on the ground, the cameraman just pointed up at him and just basically, center of the screen, just as big as life, is just Ken Patera's gross garbage.
Yeah.
Just like 2 minutes of just staring at Ken Patera's fucking dickhead and his ball sack. Just fucking bulging through his stupid singlet. I couldn't even pay attention to like his dumb Richard Simmons hair or how much I hate his face, because it was just like steady shot, just no cutting away, just dead center of the screen, his fucking gross garbage. And I was like, who's the producer on this? Get the camera off this guy's fucking old man balls. Nobody wants to look at this. This is why pro wrestling is such a niche fucking thing. How many people want to look at Ken Patera's gross balls?
No one.
Nobody. You're flipping through the channels, you see this, you're just like, oh God, how could anybody watch this?
Yeah.
This is terrible.
He's a hideous looking
man.
He's
a gross man, and just his dick and balls, mostly balls. He seemed to be 90% balls, like 10% dick. There's a lot of balls in there. I didn't like looking at it.
His trunks look like when you have like traditional tighty-whitey underwear,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is weird, because like they're not tight. Like, tighty whities really aren't tight. There's a lot of room in them and whatever. They're only tight when, like, old men yank them up to their nipples. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly and, what you're like, saying.
There's all that loose fabric just gets evenly stretched out to the navel, and then it's just the underwear just hugging every nook and cranny of your downstairs mix-up.
Looked like he had like 6 or 7 koosh balls shoved down there. There was just so many different lumps all in the crotchular area.
Yeah, it suggested that his pubic hair was similar to
I couldn't tell
to his head of hair.
What I was seeing was testicle. What I was seeing was pubic hair. It was just
matted
a
down
series
pubic hair.
Of lumps.
Yeah,
disgusting.
Or he might want to go see a doctor.
We're worried about you, Ken Patera.
Not me. I wish he would die.
He's probably dead. I can't imagine he's still alive.
Fingers crossed. I got a number 2.
Okay.
And it's the whole Rick Rude segment.
Refresh my memory. Okay, where's Cheryl Roberts, the post-match
hell
segment?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So we get this quick match, and I'm like, oh man, we're done with Rick Rude already? And then they're alluding to how he's been kissing women in the audience. And I was like, oh shit, I didn't know we're to that point of Rick Rude right now. Like, that's great.
Classic
Rick Rude.
Shit. Classic shit.
Hopefully we get some of that. And so we do, but unfortunately, they pipe in that shitty overdubbed sexy dance music.
It's the real, open sourced, we don't have the rights to what we were originally playing, so we're playing a terrible, terrible fucking knockoff of it bullshit that you get on these network shows.
And it's so fucking loud because they have to cover up the other music. Yep.
And Jesus Christ, what did he originally come out to? Like, his original music, while much better than this, I thought was just generic, anybody can play it stripper music. It's the most, overplayed, just you're seeing a stripper right now song ever. I mean, it fit Rude perfectly, but I can't believe it's something they don't have the rights to.
I figured that was like a Jim Johnston original right there, but guess we were wrong. Either way, they're blaring over it, and the real crime in all of this is you're missing Rude and Heenan picking apart the audience. You can't hear them.
No.
And you know they're giving you gold.
Tell by just the sneers and the sly looks in their eyes, though. They got a lot of opinions about these ham and eggers out there.
Either way, they find the snake's wife, who they don't realize is his wife.
No, they just pick her out because she's clearly the sexiest woman in the crowd.
Thankfully, Rick Rude calls for them to cut the music so he can focus in on her. And, he gives us a... he's just talking about her to Heenan as they get closer to her.
I should have looked more into Cheryl Roberts. Was she related to Baby Doll at all, do you think?
The face suggested. Those eyes, man.
Yeah, the slow reaction times where they're being asked to speak on a microphone.
Right.
That, additional 10 seconds of dead air she was doing while she just stared at nothing and then
string together a sentence.
Gave her a one-word answer. This was some terrible shit on her end.
It sure was.
Thank God Rick Rude was a pro. He was able to keep the segment moving.
He gave us the great line of, ooh, 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 look at those legs, Bobby. Which is just good shit, you know? Oh, he also referred to both Jake the Snake Roberts and Cheryl Roberts as stinking lowlifes.
Yeah,
which was
true.
Cool.
Absolutely true.
It was all great.
I think my favorite part of this segment was when, he was going a little bit too far. He was getting mad because she wasn't reciprocating his his playful flirtations. And then he starts, really, really dressing her down, calling her a little lifes and whatnot. And Vince McMahon says on commentary, I don't know, I think this is pretty demeaning. Just the idea of Vince McMahon calling out anything for being demeaning just struck me as hilarious.
Yeah.
Just thinking back to all of the demeaning fucking shit he has put on his television shows, playing the character who thinks that what we're watching is demeaning. Way to sell that one, Vince.
Think about that quote, and then I want you to go ahead. You can pause our show. Fire up the Bing box and just look for the women's roster in 2000. There's going to be a bunch of names that you don't know. Just search any one of those names. Do an image search. And you're going to find just gifs and video of them
making out with Vince McMahon in or backstage
like
segments,
uncomfortably like threatening to show butt crack on live television, and they got that like I'm sort of forced to be doing this amateur porn look in their eye.
Go out there, give them a show.
I just experienced that with Joy Giovanni.
That's a name.
Yeah, I forgot about
that's
that
a name,
one.
All right.
And I was like, who's this? And I started to look, and I was like, well, her whole gimmick was she liked to tease the possibility of being nude on television in 2007.
How about that dead-eyed baby doll look on Kelly Kelly's face the entire time she was doing those strip teases on ECW?
Oh, man.
That girl has never had an expression travel across her face once in her entire life.
And we don't have to argue here, folks. Don't get me wrong. I know we're paying to see that dead-eyed look because they're full of drugs when we go to the strip club.
Mm-hmm.
But this was different.
Yeah.
This is
different.
This is
venue, different expectations.
Yeah. But anyways, back to 80s wrestling here, which also goes hand-in-hand with strip clubs. It's great. You get the pull-apart, the big old pull-apart.
They did great on that brawl. They had all the jobbers come out trying to separate Jake and Rude.
They did a great job where... the ref's trying to get like Rude off of Jake the Snake, and while the ref's worried about Rude, Heenan comes in from behind and starts giving those little shit kicks.
Yeah, he did.
To Roberts in his back.
The best things you can do as a pro wrestling manager
is
get in there with some cheap shots, but don't make them look effective.
Yeah.
Just make it clearly like this is insult to injury.
Yeah. Give us those Steve kicks that we've come to know and love.
This old guy is giving me some rabbit kicks to my ribs. It's not hurting me. I'm just so annoyed that I can't defend myself right now that he's getting licks in on me.
It's just, yeah, it's great. Like, because here's the guy that's always chicken shit, always running, always like, no, you better not, you better not. And he's finally like, yeah, what now, bitch?
Opportunist.
It's good stuff. They did an amazing job. I liked Rick Rude's use of the Biff Tanner, you're about to get raped, grab of the wrist, you know?
Hey, you, get your damn hands off.
Oh. He went for it, too. That was some stiff wrist grabbing on Cheryl Roberts.
Yeah.
He was one step away from digging his fingers into her tricep and jerking her around.
McMahon was also disgusted by that when they recapped it.
Oh, God, you don't do that. You gotta choke up on the wrist a little bit more when you're grabbing a woman's wrist.
But this was a great feud. Set her upper.
Mm-hmm.
Again, look at this was, what, 5 minutes of TV or whatever? And there was no initial bad blood, no lead up to it. It just was. And it was an instant, like, I gotta see this now.
Now we got a feud. Into SummerSlam.
You look at NWA, WCW, and their whole...
Oh, do I have to?
Magnum TA, and then the Horsemen coming out, and then Rhodes coming out, and people getting hit with baseball bats.
Remember
and
that.
Like,
that
so
was pretty chaotic.
Forced and so built up, and like you're talking about 5 to 6 of their biggest guys in the industry, and it took a lot of work just to get that angle over.
Yeah, especially because
like,
Magnum TA is so
right.
out of it at this point.
And here's WWF just like, here's 2 mid-card guys. Hey, huge angle.
One of my points was a little thing they did before this to set this up, which I liked, which was they were establishing that Rick Rude has been doing this thing where he pulled women out of the audience and kisses them after his match by having a little heart pop up in the corner where they interviewed just hillbilly moms in the crowd
about
talking about how sexy they think that Rick Rude is. It was like the traditional corner box interview they do with wrestlers during matches only. The corner box was shaped like a heart, and they weren't interviewing wrestlers. They were interviewing what clearly was not fucking plants. These were real-ass moms
real
out there.
House
just
moms
totally willing
of Missouri.
To just gush in more ways than one on the camera about how sexy Rick Rude's body is. My favorite was the one who was just holding her young son, like her 3-year-old son, just like, ooh, his body gets me going. While like her dumb son was just like dead weight in her arms, like staring into the camera like, ooh.
Real house moms
that kid,
of Missouri.
That kid's got a future ahead of him that's, I'm sure, didn't end up being pretty.
I'm sure he died of drugs.
I'm sure he's got a lot of weird feelings about females being raised by that mother.
Ooh. Reminds me of the scene in Gummo with the albino and she's talking about Patrick Swayze.
I have blonde hair, blue eyes. I'm 135 pounds and I'm 4'10" and a half. I have very light skin. I am considered what you would call an albino. I like men that are very sensitive, that will sit down and watch a good movie with me, won't hit on me, will love me for me. I like men that either have blonde hair, blue eyes, or black or brown hair. Actually, the eyes, it really doesn't matter. My favorite movie stars are Pamela Anderson and Patrick Swayze. Patrick Swayze is sexy. He's good looking. I love that man to death. I would pay money to touch him.
What do you think about Rick Rude? Rick Rude is a sexy man. I would pay money to touch him.
When I was born without any toes on my feet at all. I would pick up things with the balls of my feet instead of my toes. I had trouble walking on my feet.
Rick Rude. True legend.
Yeah,
legend.
That's a couple more of our points out of the way as we're going through this episode.
Whose turn is it?
Your
turn?
I think we're just going lock stock these ways. I got two more. One of them, I'll just throw out there real quick. That gear the Warrior was wearing in that tag match we got. Maybe my favorite Ultimate Warrior gear of all time.
The purple trunks?
Purple and white color scheme. Simple, just two color scheme. Looked great. His shit was clean. It was well coordinated. It really popped. Like, everybody wants to talk about how this guy was just a jacked up roid monster and how he stumbled his way into success and he was an idiot. His interviews were bad and he couldn't wrestle. But man, this guy knew how to make himself look like a superstar at all points. You don't just accidentally stumble into having a badass wrestling outfit like that.
Right.
That takes some fucking vision. This guy might have been like a fashion designer in another life.
True. Jimmy Hellwig, the fashion
Ultimate
designer.
Warrior looked like $1 million in this match. Unfortunately, I don't come to Ultimate Warrior matches to have them be 12-minute long things where there's a bunch of legwork.
All right.
What the fuck was this tag match?
There you go. I want to talk about this. That was my point. Do you remember, it had been like same thing around like 2000. When did we go to that WrestleMania? What year was that?
The last one
in Chicago, 23?
The one so where like 10 years, Triple 10, H 12 and John years ago? Cena was the main event?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was in that era.
It's a long time ago.
It was either Raw or SmackDown where like Big Show and Kane wrestled each other.
Oh, yeah, and they had that weird
mat wrestling match. That's what I thought of when I watched this. It was who told Don the Rock Morocco and Ultimate Warrior to like go out there and just do like 8 to 10 minutes of leg shit.
And it was just like standing like in one spot, wrenching on the ankle, like in the same way over and over again. And then they'd tag out and the other one would just stand there and wrench on the ankle. It wasn't like they were, I mean, of course, like it's not like they were down there transitioning from hold to hold or there was any mat wrestling or anything going into it. This was one of my least favorite things that wrestling fans talk about because they don't know what they're talking about. The phrase rest hold. I'd like to snatch that phrase right out of internet wrestling fans' mouths because they say it about any time anybody grabs a hold in wrestling whatsoever.
Yeah.
But this was full on just a fucking rest hold.
These were wrestling.
One guy just standing there doing nothing while the other guy's loosely in a hold. And it went on forever.
And I'm watching this and I'm like, what? Why are they doing this? It's not like either one of them does submission holds.
It just, first off, seemed weird just seeing Warrior stuck in a random tag match.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember that happening often at all, where it's Warrior and some other guy are just tagging for no reason.
Get him on TV, right?
Nah, he's always just like in a featured one-on-one feud throughout the rest of his career. Weird to see this. And then it just starts with the leg work. I was like, no. Ultimate Warrior matches are all about clotheslines and press slams, and they last fucking 4 minutes. What are you thinking?
So they're doing all this leg work shit. I'm like, neither one of them has a submission that this is going to lead up to. And then I was made to look like an idiot when Don Morocco took 5 minutes to try to set up that figure four leg lock because he didn't have enough mobility in his own leg.
How are you gonna
to
get
hook
his
one man gang's leg?
Fucking thighs grapevined with some other man's thighs and have it work, especially a man as big as the gang. Whose idea was this match?
He finally just used like his left foot to push on one man gang's leg that was crossed over.
Good enough.
But to one man gang's credit, he sold that leg injury like a pro's pro, man.
God bless him.
He was hobbling the rest of that match.
Doesn't matter what sort of dumb throwaway match he's in. He's going to give it his all.
Yeah.
He's the one man gang, or if he's, for some reason, a breakdancing white man from Africa, he's going to go out there and give it his all.
Or if he's whatever Kevin Sullivan's monster's name was.
Did he come back as a Dungeon of Doom character?
Yeah, he was like one of the first ones, man.
Oh, God, I don't even remember him jumping to WCW later on.
Face paint, and I'm Kevin sure Sullivan was dragging him around with a chain.
I'm just picturing the shark, John Tenta. Yeah, the shark. Dungeon of Doom, worst thing to ever happen to wrestling.
I get another point here. That stupid Hacksaw interview.
Okay.
Well, it wasn't really that stupid. It's just Hacksaw's an idiot.
I think that was my point when I tapped out during this.
I
remember it happening, but I kind of like fell asleep a little bit. Just like, oh, Hacksaw's talking. I can't.
The only good part of
losing it. Losing the thread.
Was Bobby the Brain Heenan falling off the stage and looking all scared and just being incredulous of Hacksaw getting in his face.
I don't even remember him falling off a stage, so I definitely like dozed off a little bit during this portion.
Hacksaw comes at him like, I'm going to get you, tough guy, and then like smacks the stage with the 2x4.
Yeah.
And Heenan just...
Same 2x4 he knocked out Andre the Giant with.
Comedically like falls backwards off the stage and then is like, I got to run away. And then like...
This is like the last final era of pre-serious neck injury Bobby Heenan, where he could still like do some physical shit and take some bumps. We gotta relish it while it lasts.
He's like he does this big long roundabout loop to get back to the commentator spot, and like Hacksaw's still like giving an interview and Heenan's just talking over him like, this guy's a maniac. Who's letting this guy out here? And then like Hacksaw gets done with the interview and then like comes back to the to the announcer stage and he's like, oh, I'm gonna take your spot there now. And again, Heenan's just scrambling to get away and falling off that little riser. And Heenan was the all-star of this episode,
that
is what I'm driving
riser
at.
That forced us to look at Ken Patera's junk. There's a running thread.
He just killed it the entire episode.
In the studio. Out in the arena.
Everything he was in, he was the best, man. He comes out all proud of himself, doing like cheapskate Heenan shit at the start of it. And then it turns into, man, they're making fun of me. Man, these matches weren't going the way I wanted them to go. And he's getting kind of depressed, just kind of angry about stuff. This is supposed to be a celebration of him. And then that just turns into straight drunk Bobby Heenan, where he's just saying things wrong. Yeah,
we're moving into my
nodding off
final fifth point right here, talking about this, which is just, I appreciate the Chekhov's gun quality of setting up the sheet cake, talking about the sheet cake all throughout the thing, and then just building out the tension of how is Bobby Heenan's
face going to
end up in that sheet cake. You know it's going to end up. And you get the great red herring where they were shown in the past Gorilla Monsoon shoving his face in it, but then we get Gorilla Monsoon to promise on camera that he's not going to shove his face into a sheet cake at this point, and you're like, this is pro wrestling, and there's a sheet cake out there. The bad guy's face is going in the fucking sheet cake. It's going to happen. So in a great twist of fate, Heenan's just so self-satisfied with being on the show for 2 years, he keeps drinking champagne until he's totally drunk, full-on blacks out, face plants into the fucking cake to end the show. And I loved how he didn't play it for comedy after that, where he was like incredulous and getting up like, oh, God. He still just kept playing it like he was blackout drunk and didn't even realize that he was face down in the sheet cake. So now he's going to be able to be super embarrassed about it next week. It's going to give us some more shit to banter about in the studio. Great stuff.
Gorilla's going to keep bringing it up. We're all going to have a good time.
Speaking of that studio, fucking Bobby Heenan promised us that he was going to have a new studio designed this week for his second year anniversary, and we're back in the same old studio. What happened there?
I don't know. But Heenan, he shit-talked women this whole episode.
Oh,
like,
boy,
more so
he.
Than usual.
Boy, did he.
He just, any chance
except
he had.
Except for Miss Betty. She's a princess.
Well, yeah. He just laid into him. It was just great Heenan work. Final thing I want to talk about real quick, that failed bit where Heenan's getting really, really drunk, and Gorilla Monsoon tried to trick him and say that they had a special guest, and it was Matilda the dog, and it was just
Heenan
Bruce.
Heenan hates Matilda the dog.
It was just Bruce Pritchard or someone with a Matilda shirt over their head with a hole cut out where the dog's mouth was and their human tongue sticking through.
Yeah.
It was terrifying.
I remember like a lot of these back and forth from when I was a kid, and just remembering that I love that gorilla and brain back and forth. And just watching it as an adult, I'm kind of like, oh, there's not really much back and forth. It's kind of just gorilla's a weird, out of it old man, and Heenan's carrying the whole fucking thing.
The whole thing.
Like, gorilla's end of it is just being like a weird old man who's either doing something wacky and just like, oh, what the fuck is this? Like a guy in a dog shirt, or it's just straight up mean bullying.
Yeah, just like, threatening violence.
You're supposed to be the good guy.
Hey, I could kick your ass. F-A-G-G-O-T. I remember
their back and forth being much more of a two-way street than it actually is, looking at it with modern eyes.
I guess if you're a young kid, you think that gorilla shtick's kind of funny.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, young kids think a lot of bad stuff works.
Try me, tough
guy. I don't know any better.
Hulk Hogan's whole entire career.
I got rough. Maybe some kids. The two of us, we've said it before, we'll say it again. I was not a Hulkamaniac when I was a child. He always disturbed me. He always looked like a disgusting clown person in my eyes.
Yeah, he just...
Even though I did like Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
We didn't get any Hogan in this episode. Did they show him? Oh, no, he won that Nickelodeon Kids Award.
Oh, yeah, a little off-site clip package of him doing some stuff in the mainstream quote-unquote media. Hulk Hogan, friend to children. Not in my house.
Funny, because... I never remembered Hulk Hogan winning a Nick Kids Award, but I know John Cena's won a lot of them.
Yeah.
And now it all makes sense.
John Cena had the good sense to show up to those things wearing jean shorts, not spandex with his crotch bulging out, eye level to fucking little children.
How are you going to let the...
Thanks, John Cena.
Kids know what you're working with, man.
Yeah, I guess you got to.
Like in that scene in No Holds Barred, when he shows up, he set up that like... handicap kid camp.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just there rocking those
very creepy
powder blue tights, just
pawing at all those children.
Dick, like right in all those kids' faces. Because they're like running up to him, and it's just like face full of Hulk dick.
Your dick bulge, you got one of two options. You can Ken Patera it and stand up on a box all day.
Yeah.
Or you can Hulk Hogan it and surround yourself with nothing but children. Pick one.
Hulk Hogan then one day showed off his garbage. Not on top of a box, but in a box while saying the N-word in a hidden camera sex tape.
That's very true.
Well, we're going to go to commercials.
Keep, you know, living by those demandments, little boys and girls.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Have you ever borrowed a book from thousands of miles away? Across the country?
Just your head.
Without stopping for directions. Or sent someone a fax. From the beach. You will. And the company that'll bring it to you, AT&T.
When you're strong-willed, you do it your own way. When you're uncompromising, second best never crosses your mind. When you're set in your ways, you stay true to yourself. If you can drink to that, we've got a beer with your name on it.
Like the Rocky Mountains themselves, Coors Banquet is an American original. Since 1873, our beer's been brewed in Golden, Colorado, because that's where we find our Rocky Mountain water. And two-row high country barley. Originals always follow their own road. And that road has brought Coors Banquet right over the border to Canada. Coors, the banquet beer.
My mustache brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. I could treat you, but I have to charge. Na 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 na. My mustache. Brings all the boys to the yard.
A little context, maybe, as to why he rolled in so hot singing about mustaches. We got a three-count idea that involves mustaches.
The three-count!
A little shout-out to my cousin, Jared.
You've not the Subway him. Guy, you
You've mentioned
perverts.
Him on this podcast before. He's a real meathead, but every once in a while he comes up with a decent idea. Today he threw this out at us. Hey, everybody does that dumb no-shave November thing every year. Like, it's a big deal not to shave for a month. I don't shave 12 months out of the year.
It's a big deal to me, damn it, because we have, you know, uniform guideline restrictions.
But aren't you allowed to, like, grow, like, a cop stash?
You could do a mustache or a goatee.
Why don't you have a mustache all year round, then?
Well, because I just go in November, I'm like, I want to have a full beard.
Yeah, but you're an old man now. You should be taking advantage of being able to pull off the mustache. You got to get to a certain age before you could do that.
I find it really splits the inmates.
Uh-huh.
Half of them are like, why you got that mustache?
Because I'm a responsible adult man, and responsible adult men have mustaches.
And then the other half...
Why are you in jail?
The other half are like, that's a great mustache.
See, those are the inmates I'd be hanging out with, I think.
And I like those guys because, like, I'll get rid of the mustache, and then they'll be like...
Oh, what happened to the mustache? Where is the mustache?
No, I just have to tell them that people weren't ready for it.
You can't go into this jail all baby-faced. They'll run them all over you.
I'm doing the beard thing right now because it's my one chance to get away with it in the jail.
Is the old the warden gone or something?
No, I just go for it. Asylum? Because they let women do a bunch of shit for October.
Uh-huh.
Like, they can wear pink shirts underneath their uniforms.
Oh, I was hoping it was like free bleed October or something.
No. They wear pink shirts, which isn't allowed. That's out of dress code.
Yeah, fuck that.
And then some of them put
because of booby cancer, suddenly they're allowed to put pink under their uniforms?
Some of them put...
That's bullshit.
They put pink streaks in their hair, which is out of dress code. We're not allowed to have non-natural hair color.
That's for inmates, not for fucking POs or whatever you're called. I don't know. There's a CO. Yeah.
So whenever they're POCs. It's CO. Whenever they're like, oh, you know, well, you can't do that in November. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't know that this jail didn't even give a shit about dick cancer.
Yeah, dick cancer.
We only care about ladies.
Can't shave.
We only care about the ladies here. Staging a walkout.
I'd definitely be using the opportunity to make a stink. You're making the right choice here.
They usually just tell me to shut up when I bring all that up.
Yeah. Also, go in the bathroom and shave right now. Yeah, a really dull disposable jail razor. It's what you're gonna have to use.
Yeah, we have those.
Good luck not cutting the shit out of your face.
I can bring you one if you want.
I'll pass.
Why don't you put it in the Hausfrau's bathroom? See if she hits the old bikini line with it. Bleeds all over for a week.
That's just gonna give me a mess to clean up in the fucking shower, quite frankly.
Ooh, a hepatitis mess.
Yeah, I need less messes in our bathroom, not more messes.
That's fair. Well, either way, I'm gonna push this as far as I can, and then I think this might be the year where I finally do Deadwood December.
Dude, I was gonna say, like, just try to parlay it in December, just being like, oh, I got this event coming up where I have to be Santa for children, so I gotta keep it. It's for the children. Like, I understand there's rules, but
getting enough grain.
There's cancer kids out there.
Getting enough grain there.
These cancer kids want to meet Santa one last time.
Oh, I'm sorry. You hate cancer kids and dick cancer?
Despicable county
Shame
corrections.
On you. Oh, sickening. Yeah, but I think Deadwood December for real this year.
So that's the mustache just when the cowboy mustache happens. Yeah. I really appreciate that.
Think I should do it?
I think so, yeah. And I'll also do Deadwood December, only my version of it will just be that I don't bathe through all of December. So I'm like a real old Western cowboy.
That's cool.
And then on the 31st, I'll pay some hooker to scrub me down while I sit in like a, you know, cast iron bucket or whatever.
Can you promise me?
She dumps boiling water over my head.
You only if at some point you're in the tub with the cowboy hat and then sink your mouth down to get a mouthful of dirty, disgusting bath water.
That's a lot of fun.
To spit it out like a fountain.
You got to do that. You only take a bath once a year when you're a cowboy. You got to have fun with it. Life out on the trail.
Anyways, what were we talking about?
Trip to Cleveland. Mustaches. So,
I want a mustache, damn it.
Best mustaches in the world of professional wrestling. The idea was thrown to us. We took it. We're running with it. We're going to get into our three count now. And
because
let's see.
Let's
see what we have to say about mustaches.
Much like every year on your birthday, and much like Jackson Brown saying, when it came to three counts, we were running on empty.
Starting to run on empty here with these three counts. If you got any ideas, send them to us. We're begging you.
Yeah, I know like seven of you listen to us.
There's
a lot more of you follow
so
us.
So many things
on other
that
things
you could talk about when it comes to 80s pro wrestling.
Give us your ideas. We'll talk about it. We got nothing better to do.
Clearly.
Jinx. You can't talk till I say your
Fresca
name. Oh, okay. I heard that. All right. My first one I went with the iconic.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have famous mustaches in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them I have left off my list because...
you can only get three on the list. You're bound to have to leave some
off.
Well,
and I don't think you need to comment on them because it goes without saying. And I'll wait until you reveal yours and then we can run
through
those.
We'll do some honorable mentions at the end because I got a couple honorable mentions.
And again, it's like a mustache that goes without saying, duh, of course it's one of the greatest mustaches in wrestling history. This one, though, I feel is up there because it was always there.
Okay.
Never changed.
No.
Never faltered. But it doesn't get the credit like some of the others do.
Perfect attendance.
Yeah. But it flew under the radar. You know, it's a sneaky perfect attendance.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give it to one of the greatest forces on all the internets, the Sheiky Baby.
Okay. He was going to be one of my honorable mentions, so.
I put him on there.
Get into him.
I put him on there.
My list, I'm kind of just doing like different kinds of mustaches. What are the different kinds of mustaches in the world? I wanted to do like one from each category. One category that I think is important that the Sheiky Baby is maybe top of is weird foreign mustache.
Yeah.
It's like people don't have mustaches that look like that where we come from.
Nope.
You've got a weird foreign mustache that all curls up crazy on the ends.
Wing curly tips on my boots? Check. Wing curly tips on my mustache? A double check.
He was on a lot of drugs, but he was always coherent enough to oil up the curls on the ends of his mustache, and that's why he was the champ.
And the best part was... when he started to get old and crazy in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Boy, did that happen.
And would start fucking up at shaving his mustache. Mm. And it would start being weird lengths and just weird period. Oh. Like the rest of them.
Oh, Sheiky Baby.
Like his weird, strong, fat stomach.
One of the few, like, celebrities out there who's just known for being a full-on crackhead.
Yeah.
Like, there aren't very many crackhead celebrities. There are people where you're like, oh, he's got his demons or his drug problems. Very few where you're like, oh, yeah, he smokes crack.
He talks about it.
God bless the Iron Sheik for, you know, being real. Keeping it real, as the kids say.
And, like, he's got to be old as balls now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's still...
all those years doing those bell workouts on them, though, added some longevity to him. I've seen a lot of studies. Lifting heavy weights, one of the best things to making you live longer. That's why I'm not going to do it anymore. Yeah. I'm not falling into this trap of living to be 150.
Thanks for the heads up, yeah. It's just
sedentary lifestyle from now on. Let's committed to it.
Let it go.
My number three is, you think mustaches, you think about people looking like pervs. You think about looking like skeezy weirdos. But that's not always the case. There's a rare... air of man who can make a mustache look classy. You have to be of a certain age to pull it off. You have to always, you know, have a certain amount of decorum in your mannerisms, the way you act. You got to be a real gentleman to pull off a classy gentleman's mustache. The man who I think from pro wrestling does it the best, another stalwart, always had the mustache. It was never gone. You could never imagine him without it. He was born a little baby with a mustache. You just picture it. Mean Gene Okerlund.
Oh.
Baby Mean Gene Okerlund. Yeah. When he was an infant, you know he came out of his mom's snatch with that distinguished little gentleman's mustache. I'm saying his mustache is the full-on Mr. Belvedere.
With
he's
a
rocking
mustache
the full Mr. Belvedere.
And a full-on gin drink.
If you look like you could be a butler and you've got a mustache, it's great. Alfred the Butler in Batman the Animated Series. Lynn he could Belvedere. Pull it off.
He did. He had the pencil thin, too.
Master Bruce? Still intent on that scale or what have you, I see.
Believe it or not, the cellular structure is human. But the texture of it is almost reptilian.
Do tell.
Bullock might not be the primary suspect after all.
In any event, I've made your favorite French onion soup. And when you let it get cold this time, note that it's in a microwavable crock.
Crock? Alfred, you're beautiful.
Imagine if I'd gotten around to telling him about the salad.
You know, Adam West used to catch blowjobs from young women that were on the show, like just
oh, so
offset, like in the hallways.
It wasn't just Burt Ward always giving him blowjobs?
Nope.
There was women doing it too? Yeah. That's a shocker.
He'd just like catch a blowy and Burt Ward would walk past as a young boy and just be like, oh.
You're Adam West. Oh. You're a fucking Batman. I mean, you take advantage of being Batman.
If you got a 20-year-old on the set for the dance and surf safari scene, catch a blowy. Hey, I'm not in this scene. How about you and me catch a header in the hallway?
I give you a rare opportunity to look at my bat cock.
Suck my bat schwans. Suck my bat schwans. Put that on my tombstone, will you?
Yeah. I already had a plan. I'm writing down here in my little notebook.
Nate.
Plans for Matt's death.
What? Don't let the police find that. That's... seems like the kind of thing that come back to haunt you.
That's a good point.
Yeah. At least rename it.
I don't want to go down for you going down. Yeah. Come up with a code.
When I was in seventh grade, I had the full-on Joseph from King of the Hill mustache.
Sometimes I ask myself why I even bother. I mean, it's not like Joseph's even my son.
What? That's crazy. Why would you say something like that?
Now that Joseph's hit puberty, the differences are impossible to ignore. We don't look alike. We don't have the same interests.
Oh, come on. Sometimes I think the only thing Bobby and I have in common is our waist size.
True, but get this. I recently saw on the Discovery Channel that it takes 9 months to make a baby. Well, 9 months before Joseph was born, me and my reproductive organs were 500 miles away in Marfa, Texas. For years, alien spaceships have appeared in the skies above Marfa. The lunatic fringe have dismissed these so-called Marfalites as swamp gas, experimental aircraft, or weather balloons. So I went on a research trip to debunk these wacko theories. Nancy had a horrible headache and couldn't travel. So I asked John Redcorn to stay at the house to protect her while I was gone. I thought I was being so smart, but I have never been so stupid.
Oh, Dale, I'm so sorry.
The truth has been right in front of me all these years. Joseph's real father is...
Nancy loves you!
An alien!
What?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've seen some pictures.
Yeah.
It's not pretty.
And I was like... no one wants a mustache when you're in seventh grade. I might as well shave it.
Mm-hmm.
So I shaved it. And then I went to school and everybody's like, why did you shave? What do you think? You're older? And
that's
like,
pretty weird.
It was like, well,
had, you know,
no one
gross
really liked me having a mustache. So I
you
shaved the
do
mustache
about
off.
It.
And so it was a damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Seventh grade boys, I'll tell you what, they can't catch a break, man.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse in the world than a seventh grade boy.
So sometimes, like, it takes a strong man to wear a mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to be a bully of a man.
Strong men also
to
cry.
Wear a mustache.
Strong men.
And I'm invoking.
Cry.
Our NBA Jam rule.
Okay.
I'm
going into the early 90s.
This is a deep cut here.
He's on fire!
1991. Some of y'all folks might not remember him, but he did fight against Bret Hart and British Bulldog. He was a guy, had a nice series of squash matches, you know, was just killing people. And then they put him in a stupid feud with... Steve Lombardi for no reason.
Oh, that'll kill anybody's momentum.
Yeah. He came out in a bowler hat, a big old bushy handlebar mustache.
What a gimmick for the early 90s. Is there any way that's going to get you over than just like...
a turtleneck.
Looking like a gangster
and a
from
cigar.
An old 1920s movie.
Yeah.
That was such the rage in the early 90s.
Talking about Big Bully Busick. He was chomping on a big old cigar.
Not a titan of the wrestling world,
no.
But he had a titan of a mustache. That's for damn sure.
He had Harvey Whippleman out there with him, walking around.
Harvey Whippleman was another mustachioed gentleman, was he not?
I think at some points,
okay, yeah. Okay, that works in with our theme.
He had his cigar. He popped children's balloons with it comedically. He was a bully.
Because, you know, kids always have balloons in the audience at wrestling shows.
Either way, being a bully is funny.
Yeah, definitely.
And it was a great bit. He was a big, burly dude.
He was like one of those like goons from DuckTales, only came to life and made into a man.
Yeah, and he had this big, giant, burly handlebar mustache.
That thing went all around from the front of his face to the back, if I remember correctly.
It's like 2 inches thick.
Yeah.
Like,
very full.
It's impressive. Like, dude was a real dude's dude, and it was a great gimmick.
Did he ever anything in the world of wrestling other than Big Bully Busick? I'm not even sure who that guy was.
I don't think. His name is like Bill Busick or something or other. And
boring. Next.
He came in, I forget who it was. He was friends with somebody in like 76 era WWWF.
Oh, wow.
And like That's got to wrestle school. A few matches.
The guy was up there by the time the early 90s rolled around then.
Yeah, he wasn't ever trained. He just was like put into matches and just learned in the ring.
I think that's kind of how it went back in the 70s.
Right. Then he became a cop in Pittsburgh,
where
he was from.
No wonder he became a bully.
And then he moved to Atlanta, where he continued training and wrestling.
That's
when
I asked you about who else he was. I didn't think you were going to have this much information about Big Bully Busick.
Yeah, no. And then he made his debut in 91 with the WWF.
Made it to the big time.
Yeah, and he should have been bigger, man.
Feud with Brett and the Bulldog ain't nothing to sneeze at.
It's fucking 1991, like...
That's probably a bad era for WWF paydays, though. It's not really going to set you up for life. Early 90s WWF royalties.
He could have just done the Bad News Brown gimmick. Bad News Brown was gone by 91.
Uh-huh.
He could have just been like,
Bad News White.
I'm going to beat you up. Oh, I see what you did there.
But in a bowler hat.
Either way, some of y'all might have forgot about him.
So I have some pizzazz.
But you shouldn't forget about his mustache.
Great mustache. Another genre of mustache I think is very important when it comes to the world of mustaches. It's one we were talking about a little earlier when we were talking about Deadwood December. That's the cowboy mustache.
Yes, sir. We're
talking about a big Brillo pad hangs over the front lip. It just constantly... getting foam from beer in it every time you take a drink of your beer, then you gotta do that gross thing where you're sucking all the suds out of your mustache.
Clean it out.
You're just a big, filthy, gross cowboy. And a man in wrestling, I think there's no question here, who had the best cowboy mustache of all time, Stan the Lariat Hansen. This guy, thick Brillo pad of a mustache, full-on lip hangover. He'd always have spit and tobacco chaw and shit just dripping out of it. Really put over his out-of-control, wild hillbilly character. This guy, he was rocking the full Sam Elliott is what was going on. Sam Elliott, one of the legendary mustaches. Stan Hansen, right up there next to him.
It was always there.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember seeing any pictures of Stan Hansen without a mustache.
Never not there.
He was known as a mustached gentleman.
That's why he was also my number one.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I was going right into it.
If I could pick somebody else up off the fly, but no, like that's the one I want to talk about. You put him in the category of the cowboy mustache, which I guess to an extent it was, but to me it also rang elements of the dad mustache, like,
you got a cool fucking dad, maybe.
But that's the thing, like, his whole look, like, the mustache, his shitty hair, his build, like, yeah, he looked like a tough SOB, but he also looked like he could be, like, the neighbor kid's dad down the street.
I mean, especially outside of the ring where he'd have his thick-ass dad glasses on
because
he couldn't see. He put those glasses on, it was like Clark Kent and Superman. He went from just out-of-control, burly brawler... cowboy to just like somebody's dad.
But like, even though he was a cowboy, like the mustache wasn't make or break to it. Like the mustache was just who he was. Like, you know, he just always walked around like that regardless.
Oh no, he shaved every morning.
Yeah,
it was just by noon the mustache
it was
back.
There he couldn't help
God
it.
Wanted that mustache to happen,
and it's just it was part of his face. It wasn't a choice or a lifestyle. It was Stan Hansen, man. The mustache also,
someday,
like him,
he's going to pass and they're going to raise that mustache into the rafters
of
the Tokyo Dome.
That mustache also won a significant amount of matches in Japan.
Speaking of famous mustaches, I just want to throw a RIP out there to Chicago coach Joel Quenneville. Very famous Chicago coach mustache. Everybody knows to have any success as a sports coach in Chicago, you have to have a great mustache.
Yeah.
His is one of the best. We're going to raise that up into the rafters of the old madhouse on Madison over there one of these days. They did you dirty by mid-season firing you, Joel. They did you dirty.
Yeah, they did. They did. You got a number one?
I do have a number one. I think there was no question in my mind who my number one was going to be as soon as this came out.
Okay.
This one is the most rarefied genre of mustaches, probably of all. It's the hardest to pull off. You don't see too many of them out there. It's the legit sexy mustache.
Oh.
It's the attractive mustache that doesn't make you look like a dad, doesn't make you look like a sleazeball, doesn't make you look like a butler. Just like, it's just like, ooh, that guy looks good in that mustache. It's thick, it's full, but it's well-groomed. This guy really takes care of himself. It makes his face more attractive. If he didn't have it, he would be a less attractive, objectively, person.
Yeah.
It's the full Tom Selleck.
Hey, what's up? Come back. Look at this. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Any of you guys speak Americano? Jack Elliott here, bringing you the best in major league thrills for the fellas. And free mustache rides for the ladies.
I have seen free mustache rides offered on t-shirts in America, always by guys you would not want to ride with.
Sorry.
There's right. Only one man in the history of wrestling who's had a full Tom Selleck, and that's Ravishing Rick Rude.
Right.
There was a brief period in WCW where he was wrestling without a mustache, and it did not look right. His look was instantly more generic by about like 75%. He always needed the mustache. He only looked like Rick Rude when he had the mustache. It was one of the most glorious mustaches I've ever seen.
And when he finally grew it back in WCW, it was a more tapered, more like stylized version of the mustache.
Well, he didn't
but it
have
still
his
worked.
Fluffy poodle hair anymore
it
either.
It still worked.
It was like
though.
A more hard-edged Rick Rude,
yeah.
And I was fine with it as long as he had that mustache.
Right. His face without that mustache, man. Ugh.
It was weird. If you could have that mustache, have that mustache. There ain't too many guys out there that have that mustache, man.
Like I said, like Hogan without the mustache, weird.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So weird.
But he's weird.
But then also Hogan with the mustache, weird. Yeah. Totally weird.
Almost put Scott Hall's mustache when he was
Scott Hall.
Dancing
Very
Fox
solid
or whatever
mustache.
His name was.
Made him look like a big goober. But, you know, it was a full, thick, just like manly-ass mustache. That's for damn sure.
It's great because it also made him look 20 years older than he was.
I was going to say, like, I think the problem is, I've said it a couple times, in order to pull off mustaches, you have to be a man of a certain age 95% of the time. And I think he was just too much of a young guy to have that mustache at that point.
Yeah.
I think if he probably grew that now as like old salt and pepper gentleman,
yeah.
I think he'd probably look pretty good with that mustache again.
When I saw him at All In, there was really nothing about him that looked good at that point, Nate.
He's been on the DDP yoga. That can't be true. He's got to look great.
Well,
that DDP yoga does wonders from
yeah,
what I hear.
Well, you know.
Chris Jericho tells me all the time.
Oh, Jake the Snake. He's another train wreck with a nice
Jake
mustache.
Jake the Snake was my second honorable mention next to the Iron Sheik.
Yeah.
I feel like his genre of mustache is the classic trailer trash
yeah,
mustache.
The trucker
like,
stash.
This guy looks like a sleazeball. His mustache accentuates what a sleazeball is. When he smiles, I'm not like sharing in his happiness. I'm like, ugh, what's this creep smiling
yeah.
about?
This guy wants to harm me in some fashion.
This is my birth was the product of rape mustache. That's what
oh,
James
wow.
Roberts has on his face.
That's
a shoot.
It's a loaded statement.
Also,
sir.
Let's put it out there. Not the criminally underage, only criminally underage girl that Jake Roberts' dad raped throughout his career. He was infamous for having sex with 13-year-old girls over and over again. Everybody that worked with him turned their head, looked the other way. Looking at you, Jim Ross. Looking at you, Cowboy Bill Watts. You put a raper of little girls in a prominent position and you supported him over and over again.
It was a different time, I mean.
Yeah, back then it was cool.
Jerry Lee Lewis married his
There's a
niece.
Gross story for the ages.
Yeah,
was it his niece? I knew
I
there was some
niece.
Sort of like
cousin or
relation.
Niece.
Yeah, I think it was cousin, but like 13-year-old
cousin, right?
I mean, Jerry the King Lawler. I'm
he
not,
showed up. At
I'm
Elvis
not sure how young that guy's gone, but there's a lot of whispers. There's
Jerry
always
King.
Been a lot of whispers
oh,
about
yeah.
Jerry the King.
Oh, and that was Memphis, Tennessee, just like Jerry Lee Lewis. So
actually, yeah, that's probably Who's true. You gotta.
Say.
There's probably different laws in
Factor
Memphis, Tennessee.
It
it's
yeah.
a whole fucking different world.
Well,
down there.
I know y'all are upset, but she wasn't 12, and the law is the law.
About that time, the Duke boys had their eyes on their 13-year-old cousins.
Oh, man. Instead, it was just Daisy Duke. That Jeep.
Daisy Duke looked good, man.
Good. Speaking of the Deep South, where are we going to be next week?
Next week, back in the Deep South, World Championship Wrestling, April 23rd, 1988 episode. We'll be covering it. The week after that, 2 weeks from now, hold on to your horses, because there's a Saturday night's main event we got to cover.
Oh, shit.
That'll be the April 30th, 1988 Saturday night's main event.
Oh, shit.
So I wanted to put that out there so you got 2 weeks to think about it. That's going to be a milestone. Know,
never meaning no harm. Talking 80s wrestling. Just down. Ran out of steam. Was on
we almost got there.
But either way, tune into all of it in the upcoming weeks. It's going to be Thanksgiving. It's going to be baby oil and
so
blow.
Much going on.
It's
going
to be
holidays.
Stay single.
Especially stay single during the holidays.